comedian in our midst, ladies and gentlemen. It's always good for a laugh. It's always good to be with you today. I got water. Okay. It's always good to be with you today. Well, I got a good message planned today, and I'm glad some of the younger kids are in the audience or at church today. Yesterday, I had an interesting day. I was out riding my motorcycle. I had a little break from my mom and decided to start down Territorial. And I was going to go to my old cottage, but my memory was jogged a little bit. And a mile before I was coming to the right turn, it said Dexter Pinckney Road. And I said, well, I think that's the one I'm supposed to be going to. So anyway, I made a right down there. And as I was going down there, it said the words Hell, Michigan posted. And I said, you know, I said, I want to see what this is all about. I mean, just, I've never been out there. Everybody's heard of Hell, Michigan, stuff like that. So I curiosity, I guess, kills the cat. I don't know. But it got to me. So I made a left, went down there, came up to one party store, one giant bar, and then an ice cream parlor or something like that. And all these bikers are congregating out there. And so I just parked and I looked, and then I was going to get a Coke or something like that from the drugstore. And as I was going in, I'm seeing all these sayings about hell, hell this, hell that, you know, just all these sayings. And I'm just saying, you know, it might be funny to the person that is looking at all these quotations, but it's really not funny. I mean, you know, I was amongst the, you know, unsaved people, no believers, wickedness yesterday, to a point to where I asked the one guy, he says, oh, you haven't seen nothing. He says, June 6th of 2006, there was over 100,000 people congregating on the day of 666. And I was blown away. I was blown away. Look at our congregation. We have a small church, and you got all these bikers are coming in from all over the place. Wisconsin, Tennessee, California, this and that. I just couldn't believe that how powerful the God of this world is, and that's Satan. How powerful he is. That's scary. It really is just scary stuff. And they're, you know, drinking beer at 2, 3 in the afternoon. You know? And it brought me to the point as I'm watching this commercial on television the other day, a Jack Daniels commercial. How it was promoting how great Jack Daniels is. He was there since the beginning of time. He was there at Woodstock. He was there at the Rolling Stones concert. He was here at this concert. He was there at this thing. All glorifying. And I'm thinking, well, why don't they glorify Jack Daniels on the opposite side of the coin as well, like broken marriages, car accidents, funerals, deaths, hospitals, anger, sicknesses, illnesses. And it just blows my mind how they promote all this stuff and the television to corrupt our minds. It just really, really, really blew me away. To get to my message, this is what put the thoughts in my mind, is Ecclesiastes. I just love the book of Ecclesiastes. I mean, God is so powerful in his word and what he wants us to know about him. And Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. For the young kids here, let me break that down for you. It's better to go to a funeral home when someone dies than it is to go to a party. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to your heart. Because our life is nothing but a vapor down here. It's very short. As Solomon explains this in this passage, it's very short. It doesn't matter if you're 5, 10, 20, 40, 70, or 90. Or in Jeffrey's case, his grandmother, I believe, is 110 years old. His great-grandmother is 110 years old. But The bottom line is we all have a point in time to us to where we're not going to be here anymore. Most people are seduced into lives that don't really matter. They concentrate on frivolous and temporary things down here, and they don't focus on the eternity. The only time we actually confront death and deal with death is when we come down with a disease or we're on our sick bed. And then that's when the cold reality sets in. We see it as an end to all men. And I've been to many, many deathbeds. And every time you get put in that situation, you think about eternity. In the words of the verse, we lay it to heart, then we will focus on the conclusion of the matter, and that's Jesus Christ is all. That is all. Jesus Christ is all. That is for eternity. Most people don't think about that. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days. Moses said this. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, when you think about eternity and you think about all the smart people down here, they're really fools. When you have a heart of wisdom that God gives you, you're focusing on Him. You're looking above. Look above to where your redemption is. Death reminds us of the uncertainty of life. When a death occurs, everyone's plans are put on hold. Isn't that interesting? When a death occurs, everything is put on hold. Your marriage plans, your job, your meetings, all our plans are subject to the providence of God. We are not in control of our lives at all. God is in control. God dictates what goes on down here. And if you think about it, when somebody does die, they get mad or they say, I had a trip planned, but everything, a wrench, is all brought back to God. Our thoughts, our reason, our being is all brought to everybody's remembrance that the Lord is in charge. As an example, let's look at James 4. If you have your Bibles out, please turn to James chapter 4. We'll read a couple verses. I got some good Bible verses picked out today, so we'll be pulling the car over, getting out, and reading the Word, and focus on these precious words we have. It says, 4:13 says, come now, you who say today and tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Isn't that the way it is? Instead, you got to say, if the Lord wills. I love that. I try to always use that when we hang out or we do things. I always say, Lord willing. That's a good thing to keep in your hearts, guys. Lord willing we do this. Lord willing we'll go to see this ball game. Lord willing we'll go to the mall. Lord willing I'll make it to work tomorrow. Because as we read here, we don't know what a day will bring forth. But now you boast in arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You know, when people boast about they're going to do this and that, their boasting is complete evilness to God. Because they're and they're thinking they're going to do this and that, and when they know that they're not even guaranteed tomorrow. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is sin. Death is not a friend, but the last enemy. Death is a merciless foe rather than a kind friend. Death robs a man of his life and loved ones of a relative or a friend. Remember, the devil has the power of death. Look at Hebrews 2:14 real quick, if you got it. 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Who destroyed death? Jesus Christ. and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, people that are not saved fear death. But death has been defeated by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. On his return, Jesus will destroy the last enemy, and his people will be raised immortal. The last enemy will be destroyed is death. We must remember that the believer at death is with the Lord, free from pain and full of joy. That means our sorrow is not without hope, but there is still sorrow and grief nonetheless you'll have. A lot of people don't want to be faced with death that are unbelievers. They're afraid of it. That's why some don't even go to funerals. I have a neighbor that I witnessed to not too long ago. And I said, yeah, we just got back from a funeral and my dad passed away or something like that. He goes, no, I don't go to funerals. I said, why not? He goes, I just don't want to deal with it. You know, they just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to face reality that someday they're going to be at their own funeral. When we read and teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, death puts things into perspective. Suddenly, winning the World Series isn't so important. Winning $1 million isn't so important. Having a big job isn't so important, is it? My dad always taught me to treasure my health. I mean, if you think about it, if you're on your deathbed and you're sick and you got $1 million, what really good is it? Important. In the light of eternity, nothing is important. Nothing is important than where you're going to spend eternity. You're going to spend it either in hell or you're going to spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. You need to make a choice. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? We're looking at things that are just temporal. You know, when I try not to get locked up in too much down here. When we read these passages, not, you know, say my leisure time is ice hockey or, you know, music or you know, the drums or whatever. Bike riding, riding a motorcycle. I don't get locked up in this stuff at all. I really try not to get locked up in that stuff. It says the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now look at that passage. But the things which are not seen by faith, eternal life is everything. All this stuff is temporary. We only have one life to live, and we will only live well if our aim is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Let's be wise. Don't waste our opportunity down here. Being wise. When you ask the Lord, ask Him for wisdom and knowledge to serve Him, and He'll give it to you. Don't go by what the world says. Forget about the world. You know, a friend of the world is an enemy to God. That's how much God hates this world. This is the devil's world. You have nothing to do with it. And if you're hanging around the wrong crowd, get out of there. Come out from amongst them and be separate. And the Lord says He will receive you. Watch who you hang around out here. When I was a younger kid, this is a saying. When I was a younger kid, I spent a lot of time partying. Feasting and laughter was all I wanted. I never spent a day mourning for anyone or anything. But I never thought about the end of life either. Now, isn't that the way it is in your youth? You don't care about God. He's the last thing on your mind is going to church, serving God. You're drinking, you're getting drunk, you're doing drugs. And you do this and do this. You know, I wish I had the biblical sense I did now. Thank you, Lord, for it. As I did without it back when I was 20, 21 years old. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the Lord is gracious and good, and He redeems, forgives, forgets, and brings you up from the miry clay. That's a powerful thing. But know this, that when you do that, he brings every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. Saved or not saved, you'll be judged. No doubt about it. Solomon says, look at this, the mind of the wise is in the house of mourning. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? You know, me and the brothers, I've been to a lot of funerals. I mean, I must say, I mean, God, in the last 8 years, I've been just to a lot of funerals. And I feel spiritually blessed every time I go to one. Look at this. While the mind of the fools is in the house of pleasure, the mind of the fool is in a bar. While the mind of the wise is at a funeral home. Any chance you get, it's good to go there. The fool is the one who thinks only of the present. Look at that word. The fool only thinks of right now, what he's doing today, living for today. He lives for the hour. He shuns places of sadness and death because they contradict his lifestyle. I don't want to hear that. I want to drink my beer. I don't want to hear your gospel. I don't want to hear the word of God. I want to drink my beer. I ended up making it over to my cottage yesterday, and nothing's changed out there. There's still neighbors are fighting and arguing or whatever, just about stupid stuff. I ran into a guy. It's 3:34 o'clock in the afternoon, and I pull up on my motorcycle. I parked in his driveway by accident, so he pulled up in his Cadillac, carefree, and just by talking to him, he comes out with a beer in his hand in the car. Satan just tried to attack me. Yeah, so I just said, hey, I said, I'm sorry. I parked in your spot. I didn't. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. He goes, I see they built a house next door here. He goes, yeah, they finally built it up, but there's a grease fire that tore the thing down because my mom and dad's cottage was on the other side of the street. So we were talking. I said, so how are the other people doing back there? He goes, I don't talk to them. He goes, the one guy passed away and the mother's on her way out and stuff like that. He goes, well, do you want a beer? I said, no, man. I said, no, thanks. I just said, and I'm, you know, riding my way. He goes, it was one beer ain't going to kill you. You know, you see how it is. You see exactly how they think. Their mind is in the now and then, and it's just like, you know, he was just a lost guy. His mind wasn't set on above. He was set on the here and now. There's a time for everything. Solomon says, declare there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the Bible recognizes everything that I just said. There's a time for everything. There's a time to give an account. The Bible says there's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. A smart person would be preparing to stand before God in judgment one day. That's a wise, smart person every day. Live carefully every day. Read the Bible every day. Getting to know the Lord every day. Forgetting about the cares of this world. Bottom line, in Ecclesiastes 7:3, Solomon says that sorrow is better than laughter. Not to say it's not all right not to laugh, but sorrow can be good to strengthen the soul. When a man enters the house of mourning, he is faced with the reality that someday he will die. When I was a young kid, it was afterwards. When I was a young kid, my mom's brother died, and she didn't want to take us to the funeral home. I remember me and my sister were just kind of had to be by ourselves back, I think, 1977, and I didn't really understand too much, but she just said, your uncle Don died, but didn't take me. So I remember that, but then a family friend committed suicide, and I remember going to that funeral, and I was only 10 or 11 years old, and it freaked me out. It freaked me out. Because he shot himself in the head and they had to put him back together. And it was just, as a young kid, my soul, my spirit was affected by that. When a man enters into the house of mourning, he is faced with the reality that someday he will die. And the experience can be good faced with the divine perspective. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's what you want to hold on to. See, you want to hold on to that thought every day. And you pray to the Lord for them thoughts every day. The non-believer doesn't have that hope. Solomon wants us to know that death is the end of every man, and the living will lay it to his heart. That passage is unbelievable. Solomon wants us to know that death is the end of every man, or he wouldn't have wrote it. And the living take it to heart, no doubt about it. Not only does the house of mourning make us think the day of our death, but it also draws our thoughts towards heaven. And makes us think about God and where we will spend eternity. Isn't that the truth? I just don't believe at all that anybody that goes to a funeral doesn't think about their eternal well-being. I just don't believe it. Unless they're so cold-hearted or so shut off from everything that they've ever done. I mean, they're so calloused and they're so hard-hearted towards eternity. I just don't believe it. And it's funny, they get the same expressions. Well, you know, I got to go to a funeral. Well, everybody's been to a funeral. What about our funeral? What about us? They block it out. I'm gonna die, but I'm not gonna die till I'm probably in my 80s or 90s. That's way out. I got nothing to worry about. I'm healthy anyway. I got nothing to worry about. But I got to go to another funeral. Well, I got to go to another funeral because this, my so and so died. This died. My aunt died. My son died in a car accident. My 80-year-old grandma died. My friend's brother's husband died, and he got ran over. It's the same old story. A man on his deathbed. Well, what about cancer? Diseases. It doesn't matter. A man on his deathbed. This is a good one. A man on his deathbed is not going to ask for a book on science or a book on history. What type of book do you think he's going to want? If a man is on his deathbed, what type of book do you think he's going to want? Please, somebody say it. The Bible. Very good, brother. There we go, Sean. There you go. See? Good man. Good boy. May the Lord bless you for saying that. On your deathbed, what do you want? I would want this. Because this is the only truth that is being told to us. We are lied to on a daily basis, day in, day out, day out, day in. This is the only thing, this is the only word of God that does not lie to you. Will tell you the truth every day. Yes, yes, the days are near. He asked for the book because he knows his days are near death. You want the Bible, you want the truth. Now we're going to look up a couple passages in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 53. Let me read some. We're going to read some good stuff here now. 1 Corinthians 53. I'm going to start in 53 of 1 Corinthians. Well, isn't that unbelievable? There is no 53. I didn't write the main, but I'll get to it. Just bear with me. 53. Okay, 53. I found it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 53 of 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 53. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Isn't that a blessing to know? Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, for the wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death. No matter what you're doing down here, that is the death penalty. We are going to die. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when you're working for the Lord, you're not doing it for salvation. Everybody at a church should be working together in unison, you know, for the glory of the Lord. I'm not up here for money or just glorification or whatever. I'm up here because I want to serve God. When Todd drives that bus to pick the kids up, he's doing it not for this or that. He's doing it for the Lord. You know, these elders run church. They do it for the Lord. You know, some people have their motives all messed up. Their motives are all messed up down here. They're doing it because they're lazy or they don't feel like it or they don't think they're getting nothing out of it. But as we read here, your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. You're going to be rewarded for doing all this stuff. Visiting people in hospitals, talking to Dan Chevier in the jail, praying for people, praying for Bob, praying for Tom LaBeouf, praying for people that are sick. The Lord hears these prayers. It's all brought up to him. I'm going to switch over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4. Okay, first I'm going to read this one. 4, verse 13 and 14 says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope."